This is Real Estate Rookie episode 238.
So if you're new and you're just wanting to get started and you want that cash flow, it's not a situation where if you make a mistake and fail that you could lose your shirt. You know, like obviously nobody wants to lose money, but I'd rather lose a couple thousand than, you know, 100,000 or something like that. But again, with Detroit, we're very cash flow heavy. There's a lot of demand, and especially in Section 8. So I feel like it's a great market for rookies to infiltrate because it's so low risk with the guarantee rents and things like that.
My name is Ashley Kerr, and I'm here with my co-host, Tony Robinson.
And welcome to the Real Estate Rookie Podcast, where every week, twice a week, we bring you the inspiration, information, stories you need to hear to kickstart your investing journey. And I want to start this podcast by shouting out some folks in the rookie audience. Today, we have a podcast review from someone with the username Owen Warren. And Owen says, total game changer with like three exclamation marks. I started out listening to the OG Bigger Pockets podcast, which gave me a plethora of information, but sometimes so much that it can lead to analysis paralysis. I know we've all been there. While I still enjoy the OG podcast, my focus has shifted more so to the Real Estate Rookie podcast due to the fact that I'm still relatively new to real estate investing and have only completed a handful of deals. So whether you're brand new or have a well-balanced real estate portfolio, I believe Tony and Ashley, along with their guests, have great content to share with you guys. Thank you all for everything. So man, that's one of the nicest reviews I think we've got in a while. If you haven't yet, please leave us an honest rating and review on whatever platform that you're listening to. The more reviews we get, the more folks we can help. And that's always our goal here. So Ashley Kerr, what's up? How are you doing today?
Good. I got a child sick from school today. Sick or skipping school, still not sure yet what the consensus is. It's been pretty busy. The end of the year is coming, and we actually have an episode coming up for you guys in the next couple weeks that's going to be about goal setting. So how did Tony and I do on our goals last year? What are our goals going to be for 2023? Now is the time to start thinking about that and kind of putting your action steps and your most important next steps in place.
Yeah, it's so, you know, I think a lot of people almost wait too long to start having that discussion. So I am excited to get into that. Like yesterday, I had like an hour and a half long call with my CPA, just kind of like game planning for next year, right? And we're in October right now. So I think it is helpful to start thinking about the next year before the next year actually gets here. That way you're kind of one step ahead of the game. And then we're doing the same thing in our business as well. Like, we're already now trying to identify what some of the blockers and the obstacles might be for our real estate business next year as well. So for all of our rookies that are listening, if you guys haven't taken some time to start thinking about the oncoming year and kind of what it looks like for you, you should definitely set aside a day to kind of start putting that game plan in place.
And a great point too with talking to your CPA is even reviewing the past year and see if there's anything you need to do before the end of the year hits. So, yeah, because totally. You can only write off things in 2022 for this year. So you can't wait until the year is over and then talk to your accountant and be like, oh man, I should have done this differently, or maybe I should have bought this, blah, blah, blah. So
are current interest rates making you depressed about cash flow? What if it didn't have to be that way? Rent to Retirement has 2.99% seller financing available on turnkey properties. You heard that right. That's a seller financed 2.99% interest rate where the average cash flow is over $900 per month. They also have options where you can put as low as 5% down on multiple investment properties with no PMI. Rent to Retirement is the nation's leading turnkey investment company that understands what it takes to be successful in today's dynamic real estate market. Their reputation speaks for itself with more five-star reviews than any other company on the Bigger Pockets website. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest with confidence in the markets that offer the best returns. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a complete breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. So Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability and earnings. With Plaid certified tenant income and asset reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. It's time to say goodbye to that whole gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. Now, Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. If you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for only $1. Visit rentready.com. That's RENTREDI.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, Investor for 6 months of Rent Ready for only $1.
I just want to share something that I learned in that conversation with my CPA. So we, you know, cost segregation is one of the big benefits of buying real estate. And I always thought that you could only perform a cost segregation in the year that you purchase the property. So if I buy a property in 2022, I have to complete the cost segregation in 2022. But she corrected me and told me that it's not necessarily about you're not limited to the year that you purchased it. So if I purchased a property in 2022, as long as I put it into service in 2022, I can still get all of the cost segregation benefits that come along with buying that property in 2022. So for example, at the end of this year, bonus depreciation goes from 100% in the first year to 80% in the first year. And then like the last 20% is spread out over 5 years, right? So before, if I had a $160,000 cost segregation depreciation I was able to use, I could use all of that in 1 year in 2022. But moving forward, I only get 80% of that in the first year and then a decrease every year there afterwards. So I was like, man, I gotta do a bunch of cost segregations this year to get all of that benefit. And she's like, well, Tony, not necessarily. She's like, any property that you put into service in 2022 will still have the ability to use 100% bonus depreciation, even if you do that cost segregation a year from now or 2 years from now. So that was something that was news to me honestly made me pretty happy because we put quite a few properties into service this year.
Yeah. And to kind of spread it out so that you're not taking it all in 1 year when maybe you don't even need it. So you could, you know, transfer that, do a little the next year and then some the following year too. Yeah. That's really interesting. I didn't know that either, that you could do it later on.
Yeah.
Well, today we have another special rookie reply format for you guys. We have Ashley Hamilton with us. She is a Detroit investor. You may have seen her on Instagram or the Bigger Pockets podcast. She just had her second debut on there. Her first episode, I think, was one of the best performing episodes ever on the OG podcast. So you guys will have to check it out. But Ashley comes on with us live at BPCon. Yes, that's right. Me and Tony are still giving you guys interviews that we did in the basement of the hotel at BPCon. So we want to bring Ashley on and we're going to talk a little bit about her, but she's also going to walk us through how she invests in properties. And as a rookie, what is the best way that you can get started that she thinks of? And she kind of goes through these steps that she implements and thinks that will be beneficial to you guys to help you get started. Before we bring Ashley on though, we are going to do an actual rookie reply.
So this week's rookie reply comes from Cullen Lewis, and Cullen's question is, real estate rookie here. My wife and I are really wanting to buy real estate properties, but the market where we live is currently too expensive for us. Is it a bad idea to invest in properties out of state where the housing market is cheaper and more affordable for us? Or would it be better to save more money and just invest in the market we're currently living in? So I'll take a stab at this first, Ashley, and then I'll pass it over to you. I think a lot of it depends on what your goals are, Cullen. If your goals are to maximize your tax benefits and appreciation, then maybe investing in a market that's more expensive might actually be a good thing, right? Because historically, markets that are more expensive, like California, parts of New York, they tend to appreciate more than some of the more Midwestern or more affordable states. So if the appreciation is a big motivating factor for you, then maybe investing in your own market does make sense. If cash flow is what's most important to you, then yes, there might be a benefit to going into a market that's less expensive and can probably give you a better cash on cash return. So I think there are some things to balance there. But if you do decide to go out of state, first, read David Green's book on out-of-state investing. It's a great, great resource for both new and seasoned investors on how to build the team to invest out of state. But second, I think don't just chase the markets that are super, super inexpensive, because sometimes you can find yourself in the wrong neighborhood. Like if you don't know that state, you don't know that city, you can find yourself with a property that's difficult to manage. And, we'll bring Ashley on here in a second, Ashley Hamilton, and she'll talk a little bit about how she's been able to invest in Detroit, but it's because she knows that area, right? And she knows how to find the right tenants in that market. So I think if you do go into a market that's historically less expensive, you really want to do your homework to make sure you're investing in the right part of town.
Yeah. And I think a great way to find another one of those markets is to look where other people are investing and then do your own research from there, because how many markets are there across the US? There's a lot. So look where other people are investing and then go and do your market research from there. Is this, like Tony had said, what is your goal? Is it cash flow? Are these cash flow performing assets? Are you going to be buying properties that are super old? Like on the East Coast, we just had a guest on who was buying, houses in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And those may come with a lot of continuous repairs or updates because they're just such old properties. Or would you rather buy something new and that's more turnkey? So there's a lot of factors to look at when you're analyzing a market. And I think that it's 100% doable to go ahead and invest out of the area that you live in. There's millions of people doing it every day. Go into the Bigger Pockets forums and just ask people, who is the first person you connected with in a market to start on your team? And it's most likely going to be maybe a real estate agent or a handyman or a property manager that can help you through the process. So that's going to be a crucial part of it, is finding your boots on the ground too, to build that team for this. So let's bring on Ashley Hamilton though, who's actually going to have a lot to say towards this question too. And I think we'll provide a lot of valuable information for you guys. Ashley, welcome to the Real Estate Rookie Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us here at BPCon. We're super excited to have you. You have one of the most amazing episodes on the Bigger Pockets OG podcast, and you were just recently back on again with that podcast. So for anyone who doesn't know who you are, please tell a little bit about yourself and how you got started in real estate.
Absolutely. So my name is Ashley Hamilton from Detroit, Michigan, as if nobody knows, right? Because it's always blasted everywhere. So I really got my start, I feel like, in a very common way, where a lot of real estate professionals or people that want to get started in real estate, where they're at, right? So obviously, a lot of us don't have a six-figure job or corporate America or a rich family we can borrow money to. So I was one of those people that really had to get in really creative. So I literally started purchasing real estate using my tax return. And I was fortunate enough to be in a market that was more affordable and easy to get into, where if I took a big risk, because I didn't know anything, right? If I did have a loss or make a mistake, it would have been easier to bounce back from, because the capital requirements were so low. So I chose Detroit as my market, and I started using my tax return to purchase properties.
That's amazing, because most people, they get that tax return and it's like, what are we buying? What are we shopping for? And instead you use it as a way to build your financial future. Can you just give us like a quick overview of what your portfolio looks like today?
Yes, absolutely. So today I'm super blessed to be a proud owner of 35 doors. They're all located in the city of Detroit, but because the capital requirements are so low, I have a ton of deals that I purchase all cash. So I was able to have a lot of equity in my properties. And that was when I started to leverage that, that helped me almost triple my portfolio in 1 year. So I'm at 35 doors right now, and cash flow is always my number one. And there's no wrong or right way to invest, but some people might invest for appreciation. But I really wanted the cash flow because I really wanted to spend time with my children. So that's where I'm at right now, and I'm excited.
So a lot of investors, they hear Detroit, they think that, you know, is it the right place to invest? Is it the best place to invest? What is your experience been, and why do you think it might be a good place for new investors to get started?
Absolutely. So my answer is always yes, it definitely is. So one thing, I know a lot of people, when they talk bad about Detroit, they was like, oh, you can buy a property there for $5,000. And they kind of played it as if it was a negative. So even if I lived in California, if somebody got on the news and said, you can buy a property for $5,000, like, I'm going to instantly like do some research. But yes, it's a great place to invest. We always had the automotive industry. So the big three auto companies, so they're still there. And now there's a lot of tech companies coming there. So that's really improving. But the best thing about Detroit is it's still affordable, right? So even now, after the big COVID boom and all that inflation, we're still like, you can still purchase a property all in for about $80,000. And that property will still generate at least $1,300 to $1,400 a month in rent. And the reason I feel like it's so important, especially for rookies, is because, like, obviously there's no rule book and a way to do real estate. So if you're new and you're just wanting to get started and you want that cash flow, it's not a situation where if you make a mistake and fail that you could lose your shirt. You know, like, obviously nobody wants to lose money, but I'd rather lose a couple thousand than, you know, 100,000 or something like that. But again, with Detroit, we're very cash flow heavy. There's a lot of demand, and especially in Section 8. So I feel like it's a great market for rookies to infiltrate because it's so low risk with the guaranteed rents and things like that.
So let's walk through that process kind of. So you're recommending that, you know, a rookie investor start out with, you know, more affordable housing. So these properties, what are kind of the action steps someone can take to identify a market? Maybe they're looking at other markets besides Detroit. What are some of the things that you looked for to find these $80,000 houses that were, you know, generating that amount of rental income?
Yes, absolutely. So I do have a four-step process. But before I go into that, I want to talk to the listeners about, you know, step away from the business a little bit and think about your customer. I feel like as a business owner, even though real estate is a property, it's still a business, and we kind of like go technical. But I always think about my customers. So if you're servicing an affordable market like Detroit or a lower income market, I'm thinking about who's going to live in this property, right? So 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a single mother like I was, or a small young family, maybe a husband and wife and one small child. So when I was growing up, my parents always said, hey, stay where I can see you, right? Don't be running up and down the block. Just stay where I can see you. So when I look for a property, the first thing I do is look at the street view. And as long as the 7 adjacent properties to my subject property is good, that's one step off my checklist. And again, my logic behind that is the kids, they're not going to be all the way down the street. So if there is a smaller or a vacant property down the street, as long as the surrounding areas is good, that's going to be safe for my family. And they'll have neighbors and things like that. So number one, when you're looking in Detroit, the first thing you want to do is look at the street view and try to eliminate properties that have like blighted, burnt down, or vacant properties directly next to it. The next thing is you want to check to see what the rental amount is. So that's also going to tell you what the neighborhood supports. So on average in Detroit, even the worst houses, you can get about $1,000 a month. So if I'm looking at the average rents, and I do use BiggerPockets all the time. They have a great rental estimator, and it's really accurate. And it's hard because Detroit normally is not accurate, but I give props to Bigger Pockets for that. So if I can look and see that the rent in that area is going to be $1,000, that's letting me know it's a greater area. And then next, you want to just check and see, make sure that there's comps, right? So if you're going to be all in, as long as you can identify one property, if you're all in for $80,000, as long as you can identify one property that sold in the last 6 months for $80,000, that would be the fourth step. And then after that, I would just reach out to real estate agents, making sure that property managers is readily available in that area.
That's great advice. And those four steps you can do in any market.
Absolutely.
So building out your buy box, building out your criteria. So if your budget is at $80,000, you're going to be looking for that. If you have a certain, you know, rent to price ratio that you want to meet, then you're going to look, do the rents meet what you're purchasing the property for? Then doing the Google Street View, that's also a great tip, especially if you're investing out of state and you can't physically go and drive and actually view these neighborhoods to do that. So that's awesome. So after, you know, you've identified the neighborhood you want to be in, what kind of happens next when you're ready to make an offer on a property? And are most of your deals through the MLS?
Yeah, so to be honest, I feel like I've been an investor that's capitalized on the people saying what you can't do, right? So you can't find good deals on the MLS. So during my one explosive year where I purchased 11 properties, 9 of them were straight off the MLS. So I don't know if it was people weren't checking there, the flippers weren't, you know, if that's how. So for sure you can use MLS, but I'm a firm believer in networking, especially with wholesalers. Mm-hmm. And if you are really savvy or if you're really interested in really exponential growth and profit, really look at properties that need a little work, right? Doesn't have to be a full rehab, but if you're willing to do the work, that's going to force the appreciation and give you a bigger outcome, especially in a city like Detroit, because if it's 90% complete, you know, obviously there's not going to be any savings on the offer. So for sure, that would be a couple things that I would look for as well.
Okay. So then what's your process after you've put the offer in and you're under contract? Are you doing inspections on these properties?
Yeah. So to be honest, for sure, I always recommend that every investor get an inspection. But my philosophy is I buy neighborhoods, right? So just always considering my customer. And just also, so if you pick a market, you want to know the statistics. So in Michigan, I know that there's 30,000 voucher holders that don't have a place to live because there's a housing shortage, right? So I know, okay, great. That could be a market I can service with a Section 8 and guaranteed rent. So that's why I'm putting my mind in the consumer again. And so once I buy the property, I start to look at and analyze properties similar to that to make sure that I'm doing repairs that's going to, you know, make a Section 8 tenant want the property and feel lucky for it. Sorry.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a complete breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. So Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability and earnings. With Plaid certified tenant income and asset reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. It's time to say goodbye to that whole gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. Now, Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. If you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for only $1. Visit rentready.com. That's R-E-N-T-R-E-D-I.com and use the code BPINVESTOR. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, Investor, for 6 months of rent ready for only $1. Rookies, 2024 is the year to start protecting your rental properties with an LLC. But you don't have to do all the paperwork and filing yourself. Corporate Direct is your professional and affordable option for getting your LLC done right. They handle the state filings, draft your operating agreement, and act as your registered agent. They'll even help you comply with the Corporate Transparency Act, a new federal disclosure law affecting every real estate investor. Corporate Direct is a family business founded by attorney, author, and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton over 35 years ago. Now, his son Ted is a licensed attorney working with him. Together, they've helped thousands of real estate investors form and maintain their LLCs and protect their assets. If you're trying to build a real estate portfolio, do not skip the LLC. Head over to corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets to schedule a free 15-minute consultation with an incorporating specialist. Mention Real Estate Rookie and get a $100 discount on your formation. That's corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets.
So with that Section 8, I want to go into this because I don't think we've really talked about this before, is but what are some of the things that you do to your properties that's attractive for somebody with a voucher or even the housing authority likes to see? Because they, and kind of walk through, because they do an inspection too of the property, correct?
Maybe yes, absolutely. So for sure. So to be honest, they do an inspection, but it's a really basic inspection. Like you don't have to have the nicest property. They just want to make sure that it's safe. But for me, I want to stand out in my market. So I know all the requirements that they ask, and you can easily do that by just reaching out to your local agencies. But I like to go a step over and beyond, because my philosophy is cash flow helps you quit your job and tenant turnovers kills cash flow, right? So my goal is to eliminate tenant turnovers. So I know that if every property in my neighborhood is Section 8 and they just have the basic Formica Home Depot countertops, I might go in there and put a granite in there and I might spend $1,400 more, but I have a tenant that's going to stay 3 more years, right? And that's guaranteed rent. So those are some of the things that I do now. And then also the cheapest way, if you guys don't want to commit to the granite, there is these faucets at Home Depot. They're literally $60. You can also get them on Amazon. And literally, when you turn them on, it lights up. And just, I run all the kids when I'm doing a showing to the bathroom and show them that. And that $60 faucet has literally made so many Section 8 people pick my properties over other, and it's not even that expensive. So when you think, always think of the consumer in mind, and me being someone that was on Section 8 when I was younger, and I saw how people treated me and my family, and we had the basic minimum. We were never excited to show people our homes. I really want my tenants, whether Section 8 or not, to be excited to show people their homes. And again, that's going to make them want to stay longer and keeping my cash flow alive, right? So that's just some philosophies and a quick cheap tip. Like I said, it doesn't have to be the granite and $1,400. It can be a $60 faucet that you can put in there that really make an impact and really help you, you know, your rentals occupied.
So Ashley, you talked a little bit about your experience as someone who lived in subsidized housing and some of the, I guess, like stigma or maybe like the mindset the landlords had about their tenants. And I think that is something that happens for a lot of new investors, is that there is a stigma around investing in Section 8 or in lower income neighborhoods. Have you found any of those like misconceptions to be true, or those ideas to be true, or like maybe what challenges have you seen and how have you overcome those?
Yeah, absolutely. So I haven't found any of those to be true, because I truly believe that no matter if you make $100,000 a year, $100 million, or $10,000 a year, because I've probably been, you know, a little bit of both of those, you're still human, right? So at the end of the day, a person, like I've had people that work at making $100,000 a year at a factory that won't pay me rent at all. So it's really the judgment of character and just giving people the benefit of the doubt. So for sure, even if you're having Section 8, a lot of landlords, they'll skim on their criteria or their screening process because they're thinking it's the guaranteed rent and they just overlooked that there was already red flags. So now when they get the tenant, they're like, oh, these tenants are bad. All Section 8 is bad. But no, you didn't do your proper screening because you just automatically assumed. Now that would have just happened regardless if it was a government assistant or a regular paying. So it's definitely important to do screening no matter where your tenant is coming from. And just some of my obstacles, again, is just showing that my prospects that, hey, I'm human, I've been there before. I think that really resonates with them and let them like support me more and kind of remove me from the big, oh, evil landlord, I guess, like some people would think of it, because they know I've been there before and things like that. So that's really helped me. But again, I feel like just kind of removing the business like straight and narrow and, you know, being understanding and say, hey, listen, I know you're a single mother, but don't worry. If you stay here 3 or 4 years, I have connections with a great realtor and maybe I can refer you to a home buying program, right? So letting them know that, hey, as long as the communication is good, I'm here to help you. That really has helped me in my journey as well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like an unfair characterization to say just because someone makes less money that they're less of a qualified person to rent your property, right? Yes. Like, and a lot of times, someone on a voucher program, Section 8 or otherwise, they might be your best tenants because they know that there's a long line of people waiting behind them to get that unit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I know if I disrespect this place or if I'm not a good tenant and I lose this voucher, where am I going to go? So they're almost incentivized to be your best tenants because of the value that comes along with that voucher program.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And they stay longer too, right? Typically, because, and especially if it's a nice place where they're just bragging to their whole family, like they never want to leave. Mm-hmm. And I feel like also what I've noticed is the nicer I make my rentals and the care that I show, the tenants reciprocate that as well. Like, I mean, some of my tenants have like better grass than me. They're like hiring companies and I'm like, wow, but it's, they saw the care and, you know, respect that I put into the property and they see me grinding and, you know, in the business and they reciprocate that with the property.
You talked a little bit about your screening process. Can you elaborate on what that looks like?
Yes, absolutely. So, and it's just based off experience. Obviously every market is a little different, but early on what I would get the people that worked at the big three in the automotive that I just thought, oh, they're so successful. And they would come in and they were the worst payers, right? So I don't always just shoot for like the income situation. So my number one criteria is previous rental history. I feel like if you've been renting a property for 5 years and you move into my properties, chances are you're going to continue to do right. So if you don't have that rental history, that's when I kind of look deeper into your credit to try to build up that, see how your payment history is. But my number one is previous rental history. Obviously you want to make sure they can afford it because you'll be doing them a disservice just as much as yourself if they're every dime they get has to go to rent. So I also make sure that they their income is 3 times the rent amount. And then also I really don't like people that had evictions in the last 3 years. So that's typically my biggest criteria. So no evictions in the last 3 years, must make 3 times the rent and income and have previous rental history. Now, if it's a Section 8 tenant, then the income aspect, it'll just be 3 times whatever your allotment is. So some people, their rent might be $1,600, but they're only paying $300. So as long as they make $900 a month, then that would be a good candidate. But if you all can notice, I didn't really say credit. And again, that's obviously if you don't have rental history, then I look at the credit. But I do realize that even though credit is good, but if these people had a 700 credit score, perfect employment history, like they'll probably be buying a house, right? They wouldn't be looking. So I always wanted to be a little bit lenient on people who didn't have the best credit. But as long as they have demonstrated positive pay history with their previous landlords, that's the biggest referral I can get.
What kind of software are you using, or if any, to manage these properties?
Yeah, so if I told you guys like what I do, you all would think I'm a crazy person. I'm definitely blessed. I'm hoping to be able to use software and stuff, but it slows me down. So mm-hmm. to be honest, I've been running my businesses on spreadsheets. But for the last 6 months, I have been using Buildium, the property management software, and I'm going to sit here and say it live publicly, like, don't use spreadsheets, like, just invest. Like, I'm just so, but it took so much time to set it up. I'm not going to lie. It did take like 3 weeks of me really getting in there. But now that it's going, it's literally the best thing. But you can, if it's just one or two units, you can do it on spreadsheets, but I highly recommend you using a property management software.
I was in the same boat too. Like with anything really in my businesses, I waited too long to implement it.
Yes.
And do it now while you're a rookie investor and put it in place and build your systems up. You can change them as you move along, but starting from the beginning instead of when you have, how many doors do you have now?
35.
Yeah, yes. Trying to onboard 35 units does take a long time and is time consuming. So,
yes, for sure.
So what last piece of advice do you have for us for rookie investors? What would be your number one thing?
Okay, and I know it's maybe sound cliche or maybe something that you guys would never thought, but to be honest, it's really getting crystal clear on what you want. And I can't say that enough. And I know it seems like, you know, easy, but it's really important because I'll get people that call me up and say, hey, I want to be an investor. I want to quit my job in 3 years. So show me how to flip properties. And that right there says, you're clearly not clear on what you want, because even though I love flipping, flipping is not a means to quit your job, right? Because you are using that $40,000 in profit, which really turns into 30 once you have to pay Uncle Sam that everybody forgets mm-hmm. about. So that profit, you're going to use that to sustain your life. So just really getting crystal clear. Now, maybe you do want to be a flipper, and that's totally fine because you'll get the experience. But if you want to quit your job and get, you're going to want to look for cash flow. So I feel like that's the number one thing, is getting crystal clear on what you want, because we, a lot of us think like, oh, we want 100 doors or we want, you know, 20 units. But if that's not your goal, your goal is just to quit your job and have a better cash flow, then that's probably what you want to go after.
Ashley, thank you so much for joining us. Can you let everyone know where they can reach out to you and find out some more information about you?
Absolutely. So they can reach me on Instagram at Detroit_investor. I share tips and show a lot of my rehabs right there, and truly just here to help and give back. I've been so grateful for the Bigger Pockets family and literally just this whole community. I'm so passionate about giving back, because you can do this, guys. It doesn't have to be complicated. It really is simple. You just want to figure out what you really want and find people that are doing it and shoot them a DM, right? Instagram is like so good, or just social media in general, because you have opportunities to DM and email your mentors and people that you might, you know, want to seek guidance from. So Instagram is definitely the best place, Detroit_investor.
Well, thank you so much for joining us live from BPCon. I'm Ashley at Wealth From Rentals. He's Tony at Tony J. Robinson. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be back on Wednesday with a guest. The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With Bigger Pockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals. Enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and boom, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. There's free resources only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.